This is the second session of God, a good servant of Jesus Christ. In the last session, in the first session, I talked about Joseph, that he had a good heart to accept all kinds of trials with joy and thanksgiving. He was sold into Egypt as a slave. He was wrongfully accused, and he went into a jail. But he didn't hate his brothers. But rather, he tried to find the reason within himself, the reason why he was hated by his brothers. And he just pursued and followed the will of God. And in spiritual sense, he made himself into a big vessel. And it was a good chance for him to be trained and to be educated politically and for him to acquire economic knowledge. So through those moments, through those years, he prepared himself, in essence, to be able to become and perform the duty of the prime minister. We might also face trials, but when we give thanks and glory to God and accept the trials with joy, we can also become the children who are pleasing the sight of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So in order to receive praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we need to go through trials. Without trials, without refining trials, the pure gold can't be made without the refining process. We can also become clean and perfect through trials. Just by accepting Jesus Christ doesn't mean we can cast away all kinds of old habits and bad habits right away, all kinds of sins and evil right away. So the kinds of trials are, maybe some people, they give you a hard time. Maybe you have some discomfort. So those things are trials. So you have to realize yourself through those trials and cast away sins and evil. And when you face difficult situations, you shouldn't put the blame on the circumstances. That is not winning, that is losing. You shouldn't put the blame on others or the circumstances. That is losing. So when we face trials, people are likely to find the reason from somebody else, from the other situations. They try to put the blame on others. That is a nature, human nature. So I said that it's not winning. We have to just put the blame on ourselves. So to make the trials go away quickly, you have to give thanks. We mustn't complain, and we mustn't put the blame on others, but on ourselves. And if you complain, it is like going into you are only causing more difficulties upon yourself. If you give out evil, if you throw temper tantrums, or if you get angry, then it means you are going into the trials even deeper, even more deeply. The anger and complaints, all these things are the basis, the grounds for the inevitable to accuse us. If they do, based on these things, God can't help us. So let us check whether, let us check what we are doing, how we are reacting in times of trials. If we overcome trials, we'd be able to give thanks and glory to God. We'll be thankful. And they will turn into blessings. Maybe your trials lasted long, for a long time, long period of time. Or maybe you can't really say, oh, I overcame the trials greatly. Maybe the reason is I didn't pray unceasingly. Or maybe I put the blame on others. So we can remember and check why we didn't really win in the trials. And also we can also remember what we lacked and pray about them so that we can overcome any kind of the same kind of trials, if any, if there is any. So we can learn from our past. We can take the lesson from our past and apply it today. You say you believe in God, but in difficult situations, you might be worried and concerned. You're afraid. Of course, you know that you have to overcome and win the victory with faith, but in actual difficulties, maybe you don't show your faith. It's because you only have faith as knowledge and not spiritual faith. Faith as knowledge, it is only knowledge, so it is shaken to the right and left, and it changes, especially in the face of trials. In peacetime, you don't know. When in safety, you don't know your faith can be shaken. But in trials, in storms, you find that your faith is shaken to the right and to the left and right. So it proves that you didn't really have spiritual faith. Even though you have many titles in the church, many positions, many of them only have faith as knowledge. So when you face trials, you are worried, you are concerned, you become doubtful, sometimes you give out evil. It's because you didn't have true faith. So when you realize yourself doing that, you can realize yourself. But it doesn't mean we can pass judgment on others. As if they didn't have faith. Oh, I thought they were great, but they had great faith, but they don't. And you get disappointed. And why do you have to get disappointed, and why do you have to lose strength because of others? You can just reaffirm your faith. If there's anybody who is lacking in faith, you can just help them. Oh, I thought they had great faith, but I realized they don't. Their faith was not real, not true. And you can just learn from their examples. You thought somebody had great faith and you are following them. And because they are found out to be lacking faith, then your faith is also shaken. That shouldn't happen. You don't have to get disappointed or you don't have to lose faith because of somebody else. I had the interview of the theological seminary, and I met with I interviewed applicant, a young adults member, a brother. When he was in his teens, in high school, he wanted to work for God. He wanted to become a servant of God, a pastor. But as time passed on, he realized that pastors should have great faith. And he was thinking, compared to them, he didn't have enough faith. So he just kind of gave up. He just gave up his hope, his dream. So he kind of lost the zeal and enthusiasm in faith. But during these times of trials, some of the pastors who he thought had great faith, they left the church. Their faith was not real, not true. So he thought to himself, I should keep the church. I should work for the church. So when he had lost the hope, he wasn't as enthusiastic as before. But during these times of trials, he rather wanted to work for the church. So I asked him about those who changed their mind, who lost their faith and left the church. When you saw them, have you thought about the reason why they changed their mind? And he gave very good answers. He did. So he So he knew exactly the reason why they changed their mind, rather than losing his strength because of such people. So I was happy to interview him. So there are people who fall in times of trials, whereas while there are also others who rather stand up during the times of trials. So I urge you to have hope and faith during these times of trials. That particular brother who applied for the theological seminary, he said he was worried about many aspects of the church because there are not many workers. He wasn't even a great worker or any famous leader in the church, but after he finished his military duty, he was concerned about many aspects of the church. But he said he wasn't worried about where he wasn't worried about Mrs. Lee, the director of prayer center. After he got out of the army, he attended prayer center meetings, daytime prayers, and everywhere. Mrs. Lee was there. When she was not, there was Pastor Hyun-Chul Ju. So he felt confident about Mrs. Lee and Pastor Hyun-Chul Ju. And he thought to himself, he wanted to become a faithful, trustworthy worker. About whom God wouldn't have to worry. After entrusting the duty to me. So if there is anybody who is suffering, is it do you see that their faith wasn't great, then you don't have to get disappointed. You can just learn from the lesson, and you can just improve yourself. You can use it to improve yourself. So in peace, you don't know whether you had faith as knowledge or real spiritual faith. But the true value of your faith will be revealed during the times of trials. Even if you don't leave the church, you are captured by worries and concerns, and you become worries, subject of concern to other people. And it proves that you didn't have spiritual faith. You shouldn't apply the Word of God to other people, but only to yourself. On the contrary, faith, spiritual faith, doesn't change. Their faithfulness doesn't change. The spiritual faith is given only to the extent to which you demolish spiritual thoughts and cultivate truth in your heart. To the extent that you cast away sins and evil. To the extent that you cultivate goodness in you. And as long as you have sins and evil, you can't be given spiritual faith. So you are given spiritual faith only to the extent to which you cast away sins and evil. In order for us to have spiritual faith, we have to cultivate goodness. And what do we have to do to cultivate goodness? As in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. We can be sanctified only through the word of God and prayer. We have to cast away, we have to keep the words of God that tell us to do and not do certain things, cast away and keep certain things. So we can just practice all these words of God. So 66 books of the Bible, the words in the Bible are the detailed explanation of the nature of God, the good nature of God. So if we cultivate the words of the Bible, we can also participate in the holiness of God. So to that same extent, we can be given the spiritual faith. But of course, we can't practice all the words of the Bible at once. So that is why we need to pray fervently. Prayer gives us the strength to practice the Word of God. So when we fervently pray every day, we can receive the strength of God. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just by coming to Daniel prayer meeting doesn't necessarily mean you are praying. Of course, maybe for new believers, newcomers, just by coming to Daniel prayer meeting, God will accept that they did pray just by coming to the prayer meeting. But you know enough truth. And you should pray fervently, and you know how to pray. And yet if you just sit here and have idle thoughts, and if you do not really put your heart into it, then it's not really acceptable. So Jesus set the best example of prayer. We have to exert all our strength. We have to wrestle in prayer. So maybe because you have to wrestle, maybe you need to be tired. If you just whisper in your prayer, that is not really wrestling in prayer. That is not really fervent, passionate prayer. Maybe if we get accustomed to prayer, maybe it's not going to be so hard, but we still have to wrestle and try. So while I was leading the special healing sessions, I feel directly how the senior pastor used to be praying for the sick people. While I am praying, I have to put in all my, exert all my strength. Then after I lead it for 1 hour, then I lose all my energy, I lose all my strength. But as I keep on doing it, I gain more strength and power. But after I did it for January, I led it for 1 hour and a half. And I spent all my energy in an hour and a half, the same amount of energy that I would spend for like 2 weeks of an overseas missionary trip. And after I went back home, after the special healing session, all my cells were active and awake, so I couldn't get to sleep until 5 o'clock. And I kept on praying for the people who received the prayer so that they would be healed. So I could understand senior pastor would do, put in all his heart and mind and strength to bring down the power of God. And I, even before, I used to try my best, but it is kind of different from what I do now. I really have to cling to God like Jacob at the Jabbok River to bring down the answer for the healing of these sick people. And because I have to praying that the God the Father will be revealed, the power of God will be revealed, so that those who left will also see that God is still with us. So sometimes I don't have enough strength. I want to strain my stomach to cry out in prayer. And then I couldn't. I lost all my energy. Even for this past special praises. And I thought maybe I had to get some exercise. And that's how the senior pastor used to live. And I couldn't really see that. I didn't really understand him. So when the church members, they ask for prayers for various problems, then you can't just pray lightly. You really have to put in all your heart, mind, and soul for each person. So even though their faith is not enough, we have to pray with all our heart, with all our faith, so that the answer will come down, actually. Of course, they prayed hard, and that is why they ask the pastors to pray. That is why they ask us, the pastors, to pray. Even after praying hard, they are not getting the answer. So when we intercede, when we pray for those people, the pastors really have to pray with all their heart, mind, and soul. So I realized that senior pastor never prayed lightly or without soul. So as I, so you have to pray fervently for your changes too. So if, because you have received so much grace from, if you remember the grace you received from the shepherd and the church, you can pray fervently. So you can check your prayers. Do you really put your heart and soul and mind into it? Or do you just come to Daniel prayer meeting and you ask God, oh, Father, just consider that I prayed hard just by coming to Daniel prayer meeting because I'm so tired. That's not going to work. When Jesus was just about to take the cross, did he pray without strength, just whispering? No, he prayed with all his heart, strength, and mind. So this is, I believe this is the time when we have to pray with all our strength and mind. So, and I hope you will offer up to God fervent prayers so that we will become spiritual warriors. The second reason why Joseph was chosen by God is because he considered God's dream precious. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 4 says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope." So those who have hope, they can endure any kind of tribulations, and they can overcome. So eventually, they will be able to fulfill all their hopes. In fact, it's not easy to rejoice in tribulations. In trials, sometimes they lose faith, they go back to the world, because they can't overcome trials. Of course, trials are also given in the aspect, in your weakest aspect, in your weakest point. So that's what Satan knows it. So they bring accusations against your weakest points, so that you will lose strength. So Satan attacks that particular point. But if you have hope, you can win. Of course, trials are hard. They can't be easy. However, without trials, you can't have true faith. So it is a must. And through trials, you can give glory to God. So God has to allow the trials. So maybe we should understand the heart of God in allowing us the trials. Of course, trials are hard, and if you say, "Oh, it's hard," then it's not going to get any easier. So you don't have to say it. Trials are hard. It's supposed to be hard. So when you want to, if you want to overcome, if you want to win, you can give thanks and glory to God, thinking about the heart of God. Of course, it's hard. So if you have faith, you will rejoice and give thanks. And just pressing it down is not what you're supposed to do. You have to practice the truth with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Then the Holy Spirit will give you joy and thanksgiving in your heart again, so you and let you win. So the way to win, overcome trials is hope. So to have this proper hope, perfect hope, you have to remember and keep in mind the hope that is given by God. That was the case with Joseph. He always remembered, cherished the dream given by God. So that is why we say a dreamer. Joseph is a dreamer. He never forgot the dream he had when he was a young boy, and he overcame all the trials. And hope gives you strength. So what kind of hope did you have? In prayers, singing praises, when you met the senior pastor, what kind of hope did you have? You had hope of New Jerusalem. And he worked so hard to give us hope of heaven. Because the life to come, it is not visible yet to our physical eyes. So He wanted to show the spiritual world to us before our physical eyes. And He also invested a lot of money too to show us the beauty of heavenly kingdom. So He made this, He made the 3D video. Just by hearing, maybe we can imagine, but it's not so easy to actually understand the beauty of heaven. So He tried to present it to you. And with 3D video, with performances, to let you feel like you are in heavenly kingdom itself. And it costs a lot too. But He didn't spare any investment just to give you hope of heaven. Even if it cost a lot, if you only had faith and hope in heaven, if you just have hope of heaven, you can overcome the world. You can avoid, you can win against the temptations of the world. So if you have faith and hope in the kingdom of heaven, you can discard, you can forsake everything in the world. But just by hearing, maybe it's not so easy to have that kind of hope. But senior pastor, that was the kind of life he had led. He was in sick bed for 7 years, and when God healed him, he believed in God. And even if he didn't see the kingdom of heaven with his own eyes, he believed in heaven. But it's not the case with most people. So to make heavenly kingdom tangible and visible to you, he invested a lot, he prayed, he tried so hard to give you this hope of heaven. So many people who came from other countries, they feel like this is heaven itself. And you saw all those things, and if you forget, then what a pity, what a shame if you just forget after you see it. And what you can do is you can remember those things. We have this beautiful heavenly kingdom after these trials. We'll live in glory of heaven. So we don't have to be afraid, or we don't have to complain about anything in these trials. Sometimes, do you feel like you're shedding blood to cast away sins and evil? But if you, it is to take hold of better heavenly dwelling place by force. So nothing is wasted. You shouldn't feel anything is wasteful. Anything is wasted, because as long as you have hope, you will not feel anything is wasted. Any of your effort. Of course, it's not easy to always pray about your shortcomings for many years, and not just years, but for decades. Without hope of heaven, it's impossible. But if you have hope, it's something so easy. That is what the patriarchs and the fathers of faith, the apostles and disciples did. They could overcome all kinds of trials and even became martyrs because they had hope of heaven. So the senior pastor tried to give you this hope of heaven. And also he opened up his prayer house too. He tried to decorate it like to make it look like heavenly kingdom. When he had the spirit festivity in May, he would have these invitations for about the whole month to give you the hope of heaven. And when you go there, he would ask me, I have to prepare for the next year's spirit festivity, and please give me some ideas. He would say it right from June to prepare for next May. Because he wants to make it better so that the people, the church members, the believers would feel the heavenly kingdom even more. So he tried in this way so hard to let you have hope of heaven. Well, maybe you didn't go to the prayer house. He always invited you. So, because he invited, you have to take hold of it by force. You have to take hold of the kingdom of heaven by force.
사모하고 소망하게 되죠. 그런데 우리 모두가 볼 수 있도록 영상으로는 또 천국의 아름다움과 같이 꾸며 놓은
Also he showed even though you didn't visit the prayer house in person. He showed all the videos. It's not the beauty of the world. It's the beauty of trees and flowers. The heavenly kingdom is free of evil, full of love, filled with praises. So that's why he tried to give you, that's how he tried to give you the hope of heaven. And that could have become the grace in you with which you can overcome these moments of trials. So what kind of hope did you have when you came to this church? Maybe men's mission members hearing other people's testimonies, you wanted to become the head and not the tail. You wanted to, in your companies, in your place, workplaces, so you wanted it to be blessed financially too, so you could help with world evangelism financially. And also the workers in the church, the leaders in the church, you wanted to become great leaders to play an important part in the church. Right from when you are young adults, maybe you have some talents, you have some skills, so you wanted your skills to be used for the kingdom of God. And you studied hard to be used for the kingdom of God. And maybe you wanted to become a full-time worker, Levite in the church. And perhaps you tried to train yourself, learn the necessary knowledge. Also, grown-up adults, members, they try to become the strength to the church in their given respective duties and positions. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God gave us many kinds of hopes, respectively, various hopes. And now, today, are you keeping this hope? Are you trying hard to accomplish it? Just because there are trials now, haven't you lost your hope of New Jerusalem? Have you forgotten the promise of God for your blessings? Do you still believe the providence and the plan is with this church that we will accomplish world evangelism at the end time, save so many souls? If your hope or if your faith fainted, maybe that is the reason why you are not passing the trials. And it is also proof that you don't have true faith and true love. I hope you will recover them. In order to overcome trials, your faith and hope must be reaffirmed, even greater. So what is a way to overcome trials? We can recover the fullness of the Spirit by praying fervently. Then even though we are in a long tunnel where there's no light at all, then we'll be able to see the light at the end. You know, when you are going through a tunnel, if it's long, maybe you don't see the light. But You believe, you know that there is the other side, the other hand. And if you don't have hope, when you are passing through the tunnel, maybe you don't see any light. Maybe you wonder, you took the wrong way. If you don't have faith, you can't be sure of the exit. But if you have faith, you'll be able to keep going and see the light at the other end. And if you have hope and faith, you'll be able to overcome any kind of trial. So let us pray fervently and fulfill your duties so that you'll be able to overcome these times of trials. And the most important of all the dreams and hopes is the hope of heaven. The Apostle Paul also suffered a lot. So God showed him heaven, the paradise. With the hope of heaven, we can overcome any kinds of trials. So that's, as for me too, sometimes I feel it's hard. Then soon I remember the kingdom of heaven. I also look forward to the time after I will have overcome these trials. Sometimes I felt it was too burdensome to when I heard some prophecy that I was going to be serve at the throne of God, the Father. It was too burdensome, but I accepted it with faith. And I love God and the Father and love the souls. And whenever I feel it is a bit hard, then and I can be assured that I will be able to fulfill those hopes. So when it's hard, I remember it. And with hope, you can overcome trials. So when you are in the face of trials, actually, you can have hope, then the hope will be even greater. So, I always think about what the Father God and the Lord will think of me in times of trials. I think that probably the Lord is encouraging me to do my best. And I talk to myself that I talk to the Father in my heart that, Father, you are encouraging me and you are helping me, and thank you. So this is how I overcome the hardships. But if you lose hope of heaven, you can't really overcome the world. You are likely to change your mind. And you might even love the world again. And you might even, if you pursue the worldly things, you might even lose faith completely. So maybe there are reasons why you lose hope. Maybe you stopped praying, you looked at the world again. Maybe you put the blame on others. When other people gave you a hard time, you put the blame on yourselves. You try to humble yourself. You try to serve. But midway, after changing to some extent, if you think, why should I serve all the time? Why should I humble myself all the time? Then if you stop serving and humbling, serving others and humbling yourself, it means you stopped circumcising your heart. Then you will feel living by the Word of God is difficult. Then when you come to pray, you can't really pray fervently. And soon, you will take the worldly things. Then the worldly things will come like billows of water, like tides. Then have you lost your faith or hope, let us maybe you had the hope that you wanted to work hard and become a Levite or become faithful in God's kingdom, so, or you receive financial blessings and give to God and it'll all become my rewards. Maybe you had that, those kinds of hopes in the past, but suppose these things all disappeared. Then when you come to pray, you have no happiness. It means there is no content. It's only the shell. There's nothing in it. So especially pastors and Levites, why did you become pastors and Levites? Some people, they gave up good jobs in the world to work for the church, and they couldn't get paid as much as they used to. And yet, because they have hope of heaven, and they also have the hope that they are accomplishing the world evangelism, saving the souls, winning the souls. So maybe at first you're so happy just to come to work in the church. But then now maybe it's like just going to work in the world. Maybe you're just spending each day with no meaning, then it can't be your reward in heaven. And work, doing your duties as a Levite, visiting the souls, all these things, you should have the hope and that it'll all become your reward in heaven. And also, even though nobody really recognizes you, if you try to make yourself efficient, maybe you can finish the same kind of work with less time than before. Then, even though nobody recognizes you, the Father God will acknowledge you and He will give you heavenly rewards. But if without that kind of hope, if you just do what you're doing because only because you have to do it, then you won't have any rewards. It's just like a secular job. And if you work that way, then you begin to calculate. If I had a secular job for 10 years in the world, I would have been paid this much. I would have been promoted. In the church, there is much promotion. Then you compare your job with a secular job. Then it would be no fun. There's no hope in it. There's no hope of heaven in it. Our hope is not to enjoy ourselves in this world. And if you have that kind of hope of heaven, God will take care of your things. And you will have joy. And in the world, if you have a secular job, they just do their jobs only because they have to make a living. So because they don't have any satisfaction, they have to drink and they have to smoke and they have to go for all kinds of worldly entertainments. But if you have hope of heaven, you don't get sick. If you meet with your worldly friends, unbelieving friends, you will realize that you look so much younger than those friends. So if we have this hope of heaven, we can't exchange it with anything else. So when you heard those the testimonies of those who received merits, the awards at the end of the year, they have been doing voluntary work in the dining hall for decades. And they do it with hope of heaven. So when all those things are accumulated, stored up, they will have so much reward in heaven. So I hope we will check once again whether we have hope of heaven when we do our duty in the church. Sometimes you just do it as a habit in the church. Even though you are continually doing it, maybe you have lost hope, and that's not really going to be your heavenly reward. So all your prayers, all the worship services will also become heavenly rewards. So especially during these hard times, I hope you will hold on to hope and faith. So if you don't have great hope, it means you have a lot of worldly things. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So if you have love for the world, you can't realize the love of God. You can't grow up. You can't grow in spirit. So you will just remain as a fleshly man. So we have first have to realize the meaninglessness of the world so that we'll be filled with hope of heaven and be able to enjoy the peace given by God. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So let us have great hope and keep on marching, keep on going on this march of faith. And I hope you will become spiritual warriors, spiritual instruments that will be used by God. You probably have more and greater hope of New Jerusalem. You must have realized by now that to go into New Jerusalem, we need to go through sometimes some storms, hurricanes, or trials and hardships. And you don't have to think about the measure of faith at the current time, moment, right at this moment. You don't have to really think about it. You can just have the hope that we need so many workers in many aspects of the church. So this is the shortcut. The trials are a shortcut to preparing yourself and going to New Jerusalem. In the next session, you should hold on to In the next session, I'll talk about the third reason why Joseph was chosen. Let me conclude the message. Joseph, while he was going through the trials, he didn't know how God was going to lead him. He didn't know how to get out of the seemingly impossible situations. He didn't pray to God, presenting some conditions. "Oh God, if you do this, I will do that." No, he didn't pray that way. He just sought the will of God. He always just humbled himself. And he just passed his trials with thanksgiving and joy. What if he lost the hope and he acted in evil like all other ordinary people? His life wouldn't have been the same. We can just say it like it was something easy because we know the result. But those 13 years, he didn't have any hope. He was hopeless. And if he really lost hope, and if he hated his brothers, maybe he could have ended up being servant all throughout his life. And maybe if after he became the prime minister, he paid back his brothers with evil. Maybe if he killed them all, then God's plan wouldn't have been fulfilled. But he just kept on winning every single day with faith. Not just 1 year, not just 5 years, but he endured 13 years. Passing through these moments, I feel these 13 years, Joseph is such a great person, such a great man of faith. He held on to the dream he had when he was a young boy. And he endured 13 years. So how long would you be able to endure? We spent about 1 year. And how are you spending these days? Are you spending these days with thanksgiving, joy, and faithfulness? When we have those, we'll be acknowledged of having true faith. And let us all spend these days to become true workers, true leaders, true spiritual warriors. Let us have even more firm faith through these moments. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." In these times of trials, if you overcome with faith, God will exult over you with joy. And He will turn all these situations into blessings. Like in Zephaniah 3:17, this is the word of promise to all Monday members. Let us accept it as God's promise of blessing for us. And let us overcome all trials with joy and thanksgiving. Joseph held on to the dream given by God and he cherished it. And let us hold on to the hope of New Jerusalem, hope of heaven given by God through our senior pastor. Let us remember it. And let us have even more perfect hope.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.